Blog Talk Radio.
Want your clothes to smell freshly washed all day without heavy perfumes? Now they can, with Downy Light In-Wash Freshness Boosters. Just pour a capful of these into your washing machine before each load to give your laundry a light scent that lasts longer than detergent alone, with no heavy perfumes or dyes. Finally, a light scent that lasts all day. Downy Light, available in 4 naturally inspired scents.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Determined, I'm committed that I run, no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, so safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the wind. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where, I don't know when or how, but I know I'm gonna make it. Oh, run this race, nestled safely in a time, but I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run till I finish. Yeah, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish.
This is the product of WBNN. This is the ONE host intern show featuring Wanda Walker. That's me. On air now from Logos. Please dial in 516-453-9133. Please press 1, the number 1 on your phone, if you want to join the conversation. This conversation is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Good evening, everyone. And let's start the show. We have a guest speaker coming on, Randall G. Jefferson. He is the founder and executive producer of the co-host of Tone and Tenor, the bipartisan voice of the people, a talk show. Tone and Tenor is the talk show radio that discusses in-depth hot topic, political topics, issues on the local level and regional and national level. So, Randall, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. I will let you read the rest of your bio if you like, only because the printing is so small. So that's, I was having a difficult time reading that a little bit because I don't have on glasses. I apologize. So tonight, being that we're so close to election time and a lot is going on in Philadelphia, I wanted to bring you on because I consider you a very good person with a lot of knowledge in reference to the political climate across the United States and in Philadelphia. Goes on one place, goes on in another. And right now in Philadelphia, we have a lot of people running for different positions. And I've had the pleasure to meet a lot of good people, I mean fabulous people. And I came up with the idea that you shouldn't have to run two and three times if you're a good and great person just to win. And so good people should be able to be heard and supported and get in the first time without having to pay to play. So what do you have to say about that, Randall?
Well, thank you for having me. I agree, but I also agree that people, you know, you shouldn't have to pay to play, but also that think that, you know, anyone can run, you know, if they fit the criteria of the state or the city or even the country to run for a public office. But, you know, one of the things that we have is a lot of people wanting to run for office but have no clue on what the office is all about. You know, you can't, it's like an accountant trying to be a doctor. You know, an activist, you know what I'm saying? A person can be passionate about a lot of things, but if they don't have real hands-on experience, especially in government, budget, or what have you, then we're already behind the eight ball unless they are actually doing something that will help them. Take, for example, you know, just recently in Tennessee, the Tennessee Three, you had two 27-year-old activists that were passionate, won state positions in Tennessee. But you have to look past just them being activists. They had the knowledge and wherewithal and the education behind them so that they could go in and make a difference. And they got tired. And this is one of the things that we have a problem with in all of these cities across the country is that, you know, they want people to wait their turn. You know, waiting game is over. That's why we have this corruption. That's how we have this deception going forward. Because it is people are so entrenched in this game called politics. And I'm not saying politics, it's politics nowadays. And all the money that's being thrown into this, you know, the employer, who are the voters, because every elected official works for the voter, who is the employer. The politicians or these elected officials or wannabe elected officials or want to be the employee. Now, the problem is, the employer goes out, hires the employee, and then the employee forgets who their employer are. They succumb to those that through money and campaigns, they to their friends, to their family members, which, you know, nepotism is not supposed to happen, but you got folks that work for folks that have different last names.
Yeah. Let's talk about Super PAC and dark money, Randall, since you're talking about employee and employer. When you have Super PAC and dark money, that means that whole theory that you have that should work doesn't work and other people are in play. So explain the Super PACs and the dark money, please.
Well, you know, it's a couple things in play. Dark money is mostly outside organizations that there are spending limits that they can do, and they go outside. You know, they don't have to put in play who the donors are and all that. You know, we have that going on right here in the city of Philadelphia, you know, with one mayoral candidate who is getting a lot of dark money. And it got revealed that the sports teams, some of the local sports teams are behind it. But you can't really pinpoint it because of the way the law is. And that had to do with citizens back, you know, when that Supreme Court ruled that it was Citizens United, you know, that they could do what they're doing. And there's a lot of problems with this. On my own show, we did an in-depth dark money show, and super PACs are another thing where people put this money into the PAC, and then they funnel this. It's not directly to the candidate, but they funnel the money, and they buy the ads, they buy this, they buy that. The candidates are not supposed to be involved in this, but again, you know, because of the deception and the backroom deals and going around the bend, they get involved because it's been done this way for so many years, you know.
So how do we overcome this, Randall? What's the best way, since you've done a special show on this? What's the best way to stop this from happening?
Well, you can't stop it until folks understand what's going on, and there is. There has been introduced the Anti-Corruption Act by a group called Reach Us out of D.C., but it has gotten no traction because if this law was to come into play, think about it. You wouldn't have the money coming in to candidates, and let's really keep this clear. You know, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing, because Democrats are accepting this money, you know, right here in Philadelphia, a council members, the Koch brothers, Betsy DeVos, they funneled money into the campaign. They were staunch Republicans into a Democratic campaign. And this council person, you know, this council person, you know, they get amnesia. Politicians or elected officials get amnesia. You know, we are held accountable, but they feel as though they are not. They don't have to be held accountable for their actions.
Okay.
So, and every time one beats the system, you know, and they feel as though they're one step closer to continuing doing the same thing that they've been doing. So what
right.
has to happen is that folks have to rally around, and news medias, radio shows, they have to start talking about and educating the employee that are hiring, I'm sorry, the employer, which I call the voters, hiring these employees. You know, every election, the wool gets pulled over people's eyes.
Okay,
you know,
so let me ask you this question. The ward leaders and the council, the committee people, what part do they play in pulling the wool over people's eyes?
Well, first of all, anybody that knows me, I've said it right here in the state of Pennsylvania, we have a broke ward system, okay? Am I there?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Hello? Oh, okay. We have what I call a broke ward system. If you do your research, we have elected officials that are also ward leaders. So now think about this. You got elected officials that, let's say, they're a council person. Then they turn around and they're the ward leader. Then they have their underlings, because the only way they got to be a ward leader was they were voted by the committee people. So who are the committee people? They're the underlings of these ward, of these elected officials that become the ward leaders. So you have a control on the system. My theory is if people sitting in Harrisburg or in these state governments where we have ward systems like that, they need to grow kahunas, and they need to say no elected official should hold the position of ward leader. If that was to happen, because you have it on both the Republican side mm-hmm. and the Democrat side, you would begin to see some of this stuff start to change. Because when you control all the dice, I mean, just think about this. When the Democratic chair, not only was the Democratic chair, Mr. Brady, he was the chair, mm-hmm. he was a congressman, and he was mm-hmm. a ward leader. You know, so you have all of these folks.
Is that the wolf?
Beg pardon?
Is that the fox watching the chicken coop, or is that the wolf watching the chicken coop?
Well, I mean, they're all in bed together. So who ain't nobody watching who, because when one gets mad at the other, they're going to go turn on each other, you know. And that's where a lot of this corruption and stuff takes place, and the deception that takes place, because they're all in bed together. You know, when you are the employer, which is the constituent of the employee, and you cannot get an appointment, you know, but to talk to the person that's supposed to represent you, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You have a problem. And this is not just on the local levels. It's on state levels, and it's even on a national level. You know, I've worked in all of these levels, worked with people, you know, and I've seen just in Pennsylvania alone, you know, you had over 65 either elected or officials that were indicted, and some even went to jail, you know. But some come out of jail, and they, as if, you know, their stuff don't stink. You know, they have been, and they continue to do the same things that they did. And these elected officials continue to embrace them. And they may not be getting money, which is taxpayer money directly. They are getting this money. And, you know, until folks realize this, you know, and are educated on it, we're going to continue to have these problems, you know. And most people want to think, you know, Chicago's number one in corruption. You know, we're number seven. Los Angeles is in it. You know, New York is below us. Everybody wants to say New York is corrupt. Yeah, why? Because the mafia was there.
So are we even being able to fairly elect our representatives? When you say something like Bob Brady holds three spots at the same time.
Well, he held three.
Right, he doesn't hold it now. But name the congressional spots he held again, please, and then explain how in the world can anybody really have a fair chance at winning.
I'm going to explain something to your listeners regarding that.
Okay.
Mr. Brady, you know, as a founder of the Philadelphia Student Union, many, many years ago, I had the opportunity to work with several people, and even, you know, before Mr. Brady became a congressman, he was a ward leader, but he was made by, and get this now, folks, he was made by a black family, the Campbell family,
mm-hmm.
They're out in West Philly. That's how he got where he was to become a congressman. So what has happened is Mr. Brady kept going up the ladder, and his last stench, to become Philadelphia Democratic chair, a lot of folks, former Governor Ed Rendell, and a couple others, knew of Mr. Brady's intentions of not to run again. They tried to convince the ward leaders that this was going to happen and not to vote for him. But the Brady went in, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it. He wins the Democratic, Philadelphia Democratic chair, and then he turns around. After he wins, then he turns around and tells the folks, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to resign from Congress. So that he was baited and switched. And, you know, one of the key words, and I had this conversation with a lot of people, the when you say ward leader, what is the key word in those two words?
Ward and leader.
No, what's the key word?
Leader.
Absolutely. So when someone that's supposed to represent the ward that you live in has to succumb to the powers that be, he's no longer a leader. He's a follower.
Listen, hold that that thought right there. We're getting ready to have a track by Brother O. So hold that thought. Don't go anyplace.
Listen, my brother, my sister, don't give up. It's gonna work out, I promise, in time.
Though it seems like life is over, and your tragedy has no end, don't count yourself out of the game. No, not yet. Pull it back together and drive right back in. Oh, it's gonna work out, yeah, in time. Whatever you've been going through, you're not by yourself. As crazy as it may seem, yeah, it happened to somebody else. But what I found out is that if you hold on till the sun arises, it will, yes, it will work out. Trouble will be over, yeah.
In time.
Your heartache will be mended, yeah.
In time, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It will work out.
Yes, it will.
In time.
Some enemy is trying to convince you that your habit can't. Yep.
Is you jamming? Caller one is in the queue now. So let's welcome our first caller. Hello, are you there?
Yes, this is Randall.
I have Randall, and I'm supposed to have a caller in.
All right, now, callers, please, when you press one, that means you want to talk. Caller one in queue. We're live right now with the O&E host intern show.
Okay, mute his that call.
Oh.
And we'll go to
hello,
the...
peace and blessings. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
do you have a question
Wanda.
For our guest tonight?
No, I'm just calling in to support your show. And
well, thanks,
I just want to listen to his information tonight.
He's very knowledgeable. He'll break
yeah.
everything down, and you'll understand why we're in the situation we're in. But good news, come May 16th, if we pay attention to the things he's saying and other people are saying, we can come out of this all with one vote,
oh,
one time, May 16th. We don't have to wait till November.
Yes.
We have to do what
yes,
we have to do
I,
May 16th.
Since you asked me a question, I wanted to ask him about, I saw something on the internet the other day, and our vice president went over in Africa, and
mm-hmm.
she offered an African state, I believe, $60 million. And I want to know the reason why she offered it. It had to do with the LGBTQ community. So I'd like
mm-hmm.
to hear what he has to say concerning them trying to give millions of dollars to another country to promote their agenda.
Well, you know, we're in the business. You got to remember, we're in a business of global economy. And, you know, I've been to Africa, and I've been to a couple countries there. But I think that, you know, I'm not really understanding why, you know, infrastructure is bad in Africa. But I don't want to get it twisted, because what you see or hear on TV is not always the truth. A lot of the
yes.
tribes still in Africa own the land. They still own the land. Most of your major hotels rent the land from the building. From the building, you know, they pay rental fee for the land.
Thank you.
But as far as the vice president goes, you know, I wasn't in the room. I don't know. I would have to do research on it, because I don't want to misspeak.
Okay, fair enough. We'll come back to that. We'll probably have an answer at a later date. Maybe you'll make that a topic of your discussion come Friday on your show, and let them know how the callers can hear from you, so that can carry
over.
But
we still must realize that, you know, we're not being Big Brother, but in a global economy, you know, it's just like the banks here in the States. The smaller banks are supported by the larger banks. So when you have these smaller banks, you have to realize they invest in one another. So we're investing into another country. There's something there that we actually need. You know, so it's global investment, that's global economic.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Can we get caller number two? Wonderful, is in the queue. Let's hear from caller number two. Caller number two, are you there?
All right, caller, you're live and direct.
I'm here.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm here.
Okay, say your name.
My name is Fred Gwon Legit Hunt.
Okay, do you have a statement for us, Fred? I know exactly who you are.
From the Comfort Level Podcast. And I was just tuning in. I wanted to hear what the gentleman had to say about you know, what's going on in politics and whatnot. But I do know one thing. There's nothing we can say about private investment pools. It's just gray area. What can we really say about it? It's like something that's an institution that's been going on for years. So, I mean, you know, what are we revisiting?
Can I ask you a question?
Election system? I'm not sure what to call it, but nothing we can really do, but, you know, I guess fall behind somebody who kind of speaks our language.
Well, that's why we have laws, and that's why we vote, and whatever is gray, we can make black and white by voting or insisting that we have more information or these types of things stop. It wasn't always this way, so it doesn't have to be this way. It only stays this way if we stay quiet.
That's true, but,
yes.
I mean, what do we do when we don't know what to say? We don't know what to do, you know? It's almost like that thing that we're dealing with when we have candidates and we have politicians that aren't really working in our best interest. It's like, what do we do about that?
We educate ourselves.
Thing,
go ahead, Randall. Answer that, please.
Yeah, first thing, you know, I always say this, and you just said something that a lot of people say, you know, working in our best interest. You know, before you begin our, you have to look at the candidate and you have to look at your own personal situation, you know, and you have to peel what I call the onion back. You know, you see all the surface. Get rid of the surface noise. Get rid of the upper layer of that onion. You know, we have a real powerful tool that we have had 10, 15 years ago called the Internet. You know, you used to go to the polls and somebody stuck a little palm card in your face until you go pull a big lever, do this, do that. You know, you now have the ability to, whether you have a phone or your computer, you can go look up these people. You can go look at them. You know, you peel that onion back. You know, you can do you have the ability to do the research quicker than you could do 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And then you have to sit there and say, okay, is this person, I don't care what my family says or what this group says, is this person someone that I can put my trust in and will work in my best interest? Until you can look at what's your best interest, and then you branch out to our, because our, what does our mean? Are we talking about the race of people? Are we talking about homelessness? Are we talking about the block you live in, you know, the area you live in, you know, and where do these people fit in? You know, we have to get away from, you know, people telling us who to vote for.
Exactly.
And doing our own homework. You know, there's a lot of good people out there. I will never tell anybody who to vote for, you know, because I still do my own research, you know, and I narrow it down. Just like when you go to a doctor, you do the same thing. So do the same thing when you hire, because right now you are the employer. You are hiring these people, you know, and then hold them accountable. If they refuse to see you, do like the I'm going to talk about the Tennessee Three as much as I can, because those two young brothers and that one white woman made a difference across this country. They did not want to sit and be quiet, and they educated themselves on what they believed in. They weren't with a bullhorn yelling, screaming, threatening, what have you. They were working on behalf of the people that hired them. And you see, once the ones that didn't hire them tried to fire them because of a stupid law, and there's other states that have the same law, you know, but if we had more people in the city of Philadelphia like them, in the state of Pennsylvania, and stop these people that, oh, I want to be the speaker, I want to be the chairman, I want to, you know, get rid of them titles. You know, we actually allow people because of their legacy or who they're related to or what have you, you're supposed to automatically walk in. Some of those legacy people have caused a lot of the destruction here in the city of Philadelphia.
You're absolutely right. Hold that thought. When we come back, we're going to talk about term limits and councilmatic prerogatives. I'm hoping that we have some callers in the queue that are running for positions in Philadelphia, and then they can get on the air. But we are getting ready to hear a wonderful track from DJ Legend Brother O. I'm wanting to go to some callers. Do we have any callers in the queue, Brother O?
Yes, we do, caller. Live right now. Yes, she is. Yvette. Yes, sir.
Who am I speaking with? Caller? Caller?
I'm here.
There
he
is. All right,
okay.
There we go.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm sorry, because I was thinking, like, hold on. There's somebody else, because I was on the line, and it was, like, a couple other people in front of me in the queue, so I didn't know if you guys were talking to me or someone else.
Not a problem.
I'm
go
here.
Ahead. Go ahead,
my
caller.
My name is James Whitehead.
Okay.
My name is James Whitehead. I ran in the special election in the 7th District last November. I ran for city council in the 7th District. Also, this upcoming election, I will be running again in city council in the 7th District as a Republican. And
wonderful.
I'm also a state committee person. I am also a ward leader. I am also on the Knightstown CDC committee. And I'm also going to be vice president for the Republican Black Caucus. And I'm also I also started a nonprofit called the RFKC, which stands for the Residents for Franklin and Kensington Committee. And I started that nonprofit about a couple months back. And my mission and purpose is simple. My mission with the RFKC is to lift up the quality of life for the residents living in the 7th District, which is the poorest council district in the city of Philadelphia. And we're combating the drug habit, fentanyl, crack, you name it, opioids, every drug in the world goes down in Kensington and Allegheny, and it's the opioid, the drug capital of America is on K&A.
Okay.
James Whitehead. And Yes.
And you're running on a Republican ticket for city council.
Yes, I am.
7th District.
Yes, I am.
That is wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. And I
Let me say Shangri-La, Mr. Whitehead.
Yes. And do we have caller number 5?
Yeah, hi, Wanda.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'll wait. I know you got to kind of jump in, but I'll wait. Go ahead, you can speak.
Hi, Wanda. This is Mo Garment calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What would you like to tell us
tonight? I'm a host here on ONE, and I'm calling to support your show, and your guest sounds very knowledgeable. I do have a question for your guest.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to know, what are the three most pressing issues that you're for the office that you're seeking right now?
Is that for James Whitehead? Because our guest is not someone that's running.
Oh, okay. I thought he was running. I'm sorry. I'm out.
No, James Whitehead that you just heard from is running for the 7th District Republican ticket. He's a very wonderful candidate. I've met him myself. I know him. And he is very passionate about the community. And I do believe that he has said that his main mission is to lift up the quality of life for everybody in that district. And because they are one of the poorest, if not the poorest, district in Philadelphia. And then the poverty can be also broken down by zip codes as well. But we all know that 23-point-something% of Philadelphians are living under the poverty level. And so a large number of his district, the district he would be serving, would fit that description. And he's working very hard to change that.
Wonderful.
So sorry about that. I guess we let him go before he could answer that for you. But luckily, I know him and had interviewed him a little bit, not fully, but a little bit to know something. I hope I represented him well. And when I see him, he's smiling and not frowning. Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. I'm new to this, but this is fun. It really is.
Okay.
Do we have another caller, Brother O?
Well, first of all, I still had the brother on that's running for Republican.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, me being a fellow, and not only that, being part of the National Association of Black Republicans, myself, Very proud of you, young man. Could continue to talk to Mo Garman at this time to bring on the next caller.
Yes, I'm ready for any questions.
I just wanted to know what the three most pressing issues were in the office that you're seeking right now. What are the three most pressing issues that you see?
All right, so I'm running for city council in the 7th District, and the three most pressing issues in my district, I can't speak for what's going on in the entire city, so I can speak on it, but my district is different from a lot of other districts in the city of Philadelphia. But the main three pressing issues in my district is we have the drugs, number one.
Right.
Number two, we have gentrification. And number three, opportunity. And I'm going to add another one, a wild card in. It's access for children to actually go out and do things in terms of, like, recreational and stuff like that. So we have a job shortage. We also have a drug problem. We're facing a gentrification. And the fourth is resources for children. Those are main four problems in the 7th District, the main four problems. And when I grew up in the Kensington and Frankfurt neighborhood, coming from Brooklyn, New York, and coming over to Philadelphia, when I was a child in Frankfurt, we had the Powell. We had the Rand Joe Croc Center. We had a community center. We had the YMCA. We had a ShopRite. No, we had a Thriftway at Bridge and Pratt. None of that is there. So the thing is, when we have the kids starting off young, and I was young, I'm in the hood. The Powell, the Thriftway. I had a job at Thriftway, so I didn't need to sell drugs. I had went to YMCA. I went to the churches. We only have one church in the Frankfurt community.
Wow.
So I'm going back. When I went back, and I run a successful business, I run a nonprofit, I do a lot of community work, and what made me go into politics was that I can make a bigger impact in politics than I can do with my nonprofit, because we have legislation. You can do all the nonprofit you want. But if legislation isn't passed to support the people of the community, then we're just going to have a revolving door. A revolving door. So I said, you know what? I got to leave the private sector and go into the public sector. And I feel like I can make a bigger impact for my community and my district by doing politics. Like I told you, if the kids don't have a YMCA, if you Google our YMCA, put it in Google Maps and go past it.
Mm-hmm.
Go past it and see for yourself. Put in Thriftway.
Okay.
And these are things that I explored. I actually went back to my neighborhood and I cried. Because I said, if none of those are there, what do you think the kids are going to get into?
Right.
What are you going to tell them?
Wow.
Don't get into the wildlife. It's nothing for me to do.
Yeah.
It's nothing for us to do. And then the thing is, another thing I truly believe, and I'll be on record saying this. I believe that the city of Philadelphia is ignoring it. The city of Philadelphia has ignored the 7th District for years. And I'm here to say no more.
Wonderful.
Can't fix the problem with it.
Well, thank you very much for your response. I do think that that area has been ignored. They don't really know what to do with the drug abuse. They truly don't know what to do with it. They're just overwhelmed with it.
Well, if I can chime in, Craig on the Jet from the Comfort Level podcast, I'm currently right here in Kensington right now, and I would like to, if you could, elaborate on the plan to change what I personally call, I don't know if you guys remember New Jack City, the Taj Mahal. What is the plan to resolve the infestation?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I would do to resolve that. Number one, safe injection sites sound great, right? So with me, I would take 50% of what the safe injection sites are doing, right? When you think about, okay, if I say, hey, no more clean needles, I can't say that. I'm going to tell you why. Because the diseases that are transferred through used needles, in the end, cost taxpayers a lot more money. You're probably saying, James, how? How is that going to cost us more money? I'll tell you how. Because when you're doing that, you're searing needles in his blood. Any blood disease you can get from it, like hepatitis A, hepatitis B, AIDS, HIV, and so forth, are seared, which means that the people that are out there are homeless, they're going to be transforming diseases. They probably didn't fill out for health care through Obamacare market. So I say I would take the clean needle part, but I would create an inpatient treatment facility center geared towards getting to the root. I have a sister that's a year older than me, Lakia Lewis. I love her to death. She suffered from grievance. She had lost her husband, man she loved dearly. Never went to seek grievance counseling, whatever. She did not do that. Instead, she went to drugs to cope with her stress. She went from smoking to drinking to now graduating to being on crack. So what I'm saying is, with the inpatient treatment facility center, I would have grievance counselors. I would have psychological counselors, psychiatric counselors. I would give them free needles. I'd give them a place to stay. I'd give them free food, but they have to make a commitment. They have to be willing to make a commitment. And the commitment that I'm asking from them is to stay in, get clean, follow through with the process. And how I would do that is to say, well, James, how are you going to pay for it? Okay, cool. I'm glad a lot of people asked me that. The city of Philadelphia has gotten over $210 million from the opioid settlement money. And I went to the meeting in September, October. I went to the meeting. And they said the city of Philadelphia has $210 million geared towards fighting the opioids and fentanyl. But the city of Philadelphia has a different plan. Their plan is to put heroin, mobile heroin, onto the streets where they can come on, get clean. That's not inpatient. That's outpatient. Inpatient is having empathy, caring for the people, figuring out what the root causes is. Because if it's outpatient, I can walk on a trailer, get my high from heroin, and go back on the street. Here's the problem with that. Heroin can't compete. Heroin cannot compete with fentanyl, because if it did, everyone would still be on heroin.
Okay. James, can you give the listeners your contact information, please, and or phone number, website, so that they can get more information from you in reference to how you're going to address the problems in Kensington? And I would like to move on to another caller that's been waiting, because we have several candidates in the queue waiting to speak and tell the listeners about what their plans are as well. But I greatly appreciate you. Do you have a number or a website you want to give our listeners?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
So the number, anybody can call me, it's my cell phone number, 267-567-6309. I'll repeat it again, 267-567-6309. My website is the Citizens for James Whitehead. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where I always post up-to-date information as to how I'm going to combat what's going on in Kensington. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Citizens for James Whitehead is my website. My cell phone number to reach me, you can text me, call me. I'm always going to answer. This is my direct number, 267-567-6309.
Thank you, James. I appreciate you. This will not be the last time you hear from me. Hopefully I see you on Sunday. And we're going to go to caller number 6 in the queue. Hello, caller.
Hello, good evening. This is Jesus from the Jesus Show. How you doing, everybody? Brother O to the speakers, to James. Hey, y'all. And I'm grateful that the young man, speaking about Philadelphia. No, I'm not from Philly. I'm from New York, but Philly is still my home because it's the land, right? And he brought up children, and because this is happening across America anyway, where we do not have recreational or community outreach Now, I don't just look to no government for that. I look to the community. I look to myself. I look to the man in the mirror within me. And also, a lot of people talk a good game before they get elected now.
Mm-hmm.
And we done been through a lot now. We done heard it all before. You see what I'm saying? So we ain't playing as Americans now. We ain't playing with these children, with ourselves. A lot of people are for real, not playing. They ain't taking this shit for granted no more. Also,
exactly.
when it comes to having funding, talking about their children, right, the community, because I born in the 70s too. And when I look back at my communities, right, it's not much there. But see, one of the main causes, we may have funding in the future for drug rehab, rehabilitation, and what have you. But what about mental health? I know the young man brought up psychiatric help. But what kind of psychiatric? You see what I'm saying? The mental health in the childhood trauma is the core of the American darkness within, you know, as a people. We had to live through that. I know around the world, but still. So mental health is very important. Not that nobody didn't say that, honey. That is core, honey. And I don't always have the answer for everything, but I know the main answer is love, honey. When it comes to love, got to be involved with politics, honey. It got to be involved with everything as a people. Love, honey, no matter what your title is, what your position is. Much love to you all, the best to you all, and thank y'all for those who come together to do greater things for the people. My name is Jesus. My show is every first Thursday of every month. God bless you all. I'll be listening.
Thank you for that call and support. Thank you very much. Caller number 7 in the queue, you're next.
All right now. Yeah, you notice nobody but Mr. Boston from the Boston Chronicles. Now, look here. I love what you said about mental health. You know, I like what the brother said about making them have a commitment and putting them in these facilities. You know, the counselors, the food. But they have to make a commitment. You know, my degree is in human services with drug and alcohol counseling and crisis intervention. And I do a lot of volunteering in downtown San Diego. And these programs that they have in California are run by a mandate set by California, not by the program. And every single program that I've volunteered to use my wisdom and knowledge and my education to help place these people in a situation where they can be self-sufficient. But the reality of this thing is when the program itself is trying to treat the addiction instead of the underlying condition that caused the dis-ease, well, then you have already lost the war. You cannot treat the addiction without treating the underlying issue or that person going to spend 3 years in a program being treated for drug addiction. You're going to put him in hospital. You're going to give him food so he can eat. And then he's going to flip the script because you didn't treat the underlying condition. So to all those brothers out there who are trying to make a difference in Philadelphia, I got a million praises for y'all. I do. I got a million praises because somebody is trying to do something to change the situation in their neighborhood. I'm so proud of my black folks. Okay, now, let me tell you, come April 18th, y'all know, y'all got to stay tuned, because the Boston Chronicles is going to be in town, and Mr. Boston is going to be sitting right there tonight because I am featuring one of WBNNO and my friend, Ms. Mo Garman, is coming to the building with me on April 18th. So y'all make sure, just on your calendar, because Mo Garman and WBNNN and Mr. Boston and the Boston Chronicle are going to be in this damn building, and we coming to knock the socks off y'all because we're going to be talking about trauma. Okay. One of the main reasons why a lot of people are addicted to fentanyl, cocaine, powder, and whatever else, pills and opioids. But make sure y'all mark this date down on your calendar, April 18th, 6:30, Pacific Standard Time, 9:30, Eastern Standard Time. And the Boston Chronicle is going to open up the curtains and the doors for y'all so y'all can file right on in. Take a seat. Pay attention, because there's going to be a lot of knowledge and wisdom being passed from Sister Mo Garman, while I have some poetry for her to make her feel comfortable. And y'all have a good night.
Well, thank you very much. And we are going to now have another track by DJ Legend Brother O.
Life is not promised to anyone. You'll get away. That's something I want to say. I was used to say about what life has offered you. The eyes, the cars, those things, they really don't mean one thing. What does it mean to gain the world and in the end lose your soul? I think I ought to let you know that these things don't last for long.
callers to press 1 on their phones if they want to join the conversation. I know that you're listening to us by phone and by laptops and things like that, but you have to press the 1 on your phone to join the conversation. Thank you very much. We have caller number 8. Hello, caller number 8.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Side of Philadelphia, where your grandma might have to put a house up to bail your little brother out because he shot people up with a rifle at the Chinese store and pulled off on a four-wheeler. But what's going on?
How are you? You know that's not right. You know that's not right. And, yes, she might have to put up the house, but guess what? It still shouldn't be enough to get them out. So,
you see what I'm saying?
Yes, that's
now,
how it
is. How's everyone going on tonight? Because this is some very important pieces of jewelry that either we're going to rock them around the neck or lay them on the dresser, however we're going to do it. We're going to do it like that. But I wanted to say this because I have maybe somebody can help me out with this one, because this is theoretics per se, but I've noticed things because I've done some research and studies on these things. When people take interest of someone in which they may particularly want to vote for, you know what I mean? This is kind of like when we draft players in the NFL and all that kind of stuff. Or we pick players to play FanDuel and all that, fantasy football and all that, where this requires you, once you vote and pledge for this player or pledge for this individual, you're supposed to follow the activity of this individual, play by play. You see what I'm saying? Because I see a lot of people, not all of them, because I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of us, I did a ratio, and it's a large number, you know what I'm saying, that we only pay attention to voting when it's time to vote, where we don't know these politicians, you know what I'm saying? We only look at what they could possibly do for us during the time of having to vote for them. However, what happens is they get into these offices, whether or not we voted for them or not voted for them, no one is paying attention anymore until it's the next time to vote. And all the things that turns into turmoil and goes left, this is the accumulation of things in the middle of the, you know, in the meantime, between time, where people are not paying attention to these votes. So the second part of that is this. You know, as we talk about K&A and all these places like that, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand a lot of our politicians are from the streets, like us, like me, Clev One. That's where I'm from, and I know a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of the people who know the politics are the people from the streets. However, people from the streets, we have to remember, folks, they're always liable to fall off the wagon. You're from the scum, you're always liable to fall off the scum. Shout out to Marion Barry, you know what I'm saying? You're always liable to fall off because you're from the scum. Remember, and while we're not paying attention during these whole 2 years or 4 years or whatever it takes to vote for people, we're not paying attention to these possibilities of these politicians who know the streets because they're from the scum falling off the wagon. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Side of Philadelphia. Yo, where the hottest strip in the city, drug strip in the city, is 15th and Market Clothespin across from City Hall. Check your satellite.
Okay, that was a lot for us to take in, and I'm going to go back to our guest speaker or interview person. Randall, what did you have to say about all of that?
It was interesting. You know,
I was a little afraid that he was going to drop the name.
You know, I mean, if you peel back some of the stuff, so a lot of it was
true.
You know, but you know, I want to go back real quick. You know, so that we understand when we started this conversation. We started this conversation about corruption,
corruption.
You know, I just want to you know, let people understand that, you know, political corruption is the use of legislative powers by government officials for illegitimate private gain, misuse of government power for other purposes such as reparation of the political opponent and general police brutality is not considered, listen to this, is not considered political corruption. Neither are illegal acts by private persons or corporations not directly involved with the government. An illegal act by an office holder constitutes political corruption only if the act is directly related to their official duties. And I meant to come out with that first, but, you know, some form, and corruption varies from bribery to extortion to cronyism to nepotism. Beg pardon?
How about addiction? Would that be one?
Addiction is not one of them. Embezzlement, theft. And this is what a lot of, and the gentleman was somewhat right when he said that these folks are from the street, some of them, because some of those folks that engages a behavior that went on to become elected officials and subsequently go to jail were from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew how to maneuver, but, you know, it's like anything else. As my father used to say, a fish would never get caught if he kept his mouth shut.
Okay.
Think about it now.
I have a question for you. That is a good one. Okay. Please tell me, what are your thoughts on term limits, okay, and councilmatic prerogative? What do you think should take the place of councilmatic prerogative and or why?
All right. Term limit. I believe, and you know, it's interesting that you brought this up because, you know, think about this. You know, in D.C., we call the senators the cardinals, and they have this saying, I'll be here. I was here when you got here. I'll be here when you're gone. So you think about it. You know, think about this. A president or mayor or governor of most states and the president only does two terms, 4 years, 8 years total if reelected.
Yes.
You have lifelong people sitting in these state houses, sitting in these city councils, sitting in these townships, and they get stuck on stupid. You know, oh, that's not the way we do it. You know, they're not willing to change with the times. Well, the position has outgrown them. They don't want to step back. So with term limits, again, people will have to grow some kahunas to say, look, we need to limit this. You know, the Senate. You look at the Senate, 6 years, 12 years, 18 years, you know. So why does somebody have to stay in one position for 18 years? You know, you have people that they're there not for the betterment of their communities. I mean, one elected official here in Philadelphia was beat, and then they ran again. And why? Because they wanted to get enough years so they could have another pension.
Mm.
So think about this. Think about this now. Think about it. There's people out here that have pensions from the state, from the city, possibly a husband or some husband was also elected official, so they get their pension. Where's this money coming from? It's taxpayers' money. You know, and you think about it in the state of Pennsylvania, there are problems right now with the retirement funds.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about that. So you keep having these people that sit there for 30 years and they keep accumulating, you know, and then they move around to a different governmental government position or whatever. I'm not saying, you know, they can't do that, but, you know, this is taxpayers' money. This is people who's putting out there, you know, and they're living, you know, you're sitting there making, some of them getting $500,000 just in pension.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's you really know? Sad that we don't have something
and
on
they
the book.
Engage in, back to what we were talking about, some of them engage in some of this stuff that we call corruption or deceit and deception because I may have to agree with the young man. They understood the streets and they understood what he just said. The people stop looking. You know, if we look at our predominantly urban cities, are black. You know, and black people are forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't look at, you know, you get a turkey, your holidays, you get a ham. You know, even in the water crisis here in Philadelphia, when I wrote, I said, oh, instead of a free turkey, they're going to give out a case of water. Hey, one of these elected officials or one of the mayor or candidates were going around with a bag with six little bottles of water, had the elderly's name, and was delivering six. Now, this happened on a Sunday. He waited until a Thursday for these little teeny, the little half-pint bottles of water, not even a whole 16-ounce bottle. What were you going to do with that if the water crisis continued? Now, talking about water crisis, look at Flint, Michigan. Look at Philadelphia. We have one of the oldest water systems.
Yes, we do.
The water that we drink, you know, most people don't know, we still have wooden pipes in Philadelphia. We still have wooden pipes.
Okay.
See, all this infrastructure and these are things, but see, people say, oh, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me because people don't see and they're not holding people accountable. You know, and as long as you say it doesn't affect them, they're going to go get in there and do whatever they want. You know, just like the, you know, with judges, you know, politicians
yeah.
interacting with the judges. You know, that used to never happen.
Okay.
You know,
we went down their own lanes. Sorry about that, Randall. We have another caller. I think we have caller number 9. And before we go to caller number 9, I want to remind people once again to please press the number 1 on your phone if you want to join the conversation. And then, Randall, I want you to touch on the prerogative, councilmatic prerogative. But caller number 9, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Could you give us your name?
Yes, my tribal name is Huni Bakatun, and my pen and stage name is Master Ta Magic Man Haru. I'm also a host of our great network of WBNN, and my next show is really will be my 6 years with this great company, and I will be not only celebrating my 6 years, but also will be doing an advancement on honoring all mothers. Okay, that would be May 4th. It's coming up. I just want to say, you know, I'm really enjoying the show. Honor to your special honored guest. Politics, as I heard you say so eloquently, politics wasn't done for our benefit. You know, it definitely wasn't. And for the life of me, with our come up and coming back to power as the original people of this planet Earth, it never ceased to amaze me that once again our people continue to fall, and this got so much hope into a system that wasn't designed for all people, because the ones who designed it didn't design it for all people. Even though we, you know, we partake in it, you know, we voted, and in a lot of cases, the people, once they get into office, then they started taking on the ideas and the agendas of a people who didn't have all people with that in mind. It didn't have it. It wasn't designed that way. So, you know, like I said, I would love within my lifetime or any other time to see us come back into us being in full control of ourselves and each other. That's exactly what it's about. So anyway, that's my $9.99. I just wanted to show my divine love
and
support.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate you. And I'm going to put it on pause to listen to the rest of the show, okay?
Well, thank you so very much. We're getting ready to have another beautiful track by DJ legend Brother O.
You deserve it, God. You deserve the honor.
And it is now Ngozi time.
Well. What more can I say tonight that has already been said? Outstanding performances tonight by Wanda Walker, our wonderful guest, Mr. Randall. And one more can we say about what we do here at WBNN. And, of course, tonight, since I hired no bums, another rookie has done justice on this outstanding story network. Congratulations to Wanda Walker on her second consecutive all-time connection record tonight with the Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring our late great Hall of Famer as an intern. Outstanding performance by the young lady from Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. And, of course, what more can we say? I'm off tomorrow. That's right. The great one must rest to get ready for News Forum by Dr. Chinchilla J, the Honorable One, right here, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, Sunday night, on these WBNN Outstanding Networks. And, of course, we have Advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter, and then Ngozi underscore time. Ola Dali Malibu Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ola Dali Malibu Ngozi with my@gmail.com. And I'm your mother and father's favorite producer, the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting lifetime achiever in both the art and sounds of music as well as producing. To all the young ladies that love me. My name is Ola Dali Malibu Ngozi saying good night, good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio, support us on a constant basis. And now back to the wonderful Wanda Kerr.
Thank you for that introduction. I want to say that tonight went very quickly, and when you're gearing up to speak to an audience like this, there's so much you want to cover, and it's never enough time. People, please believe that we can turn the city around in just one vote. May 16th, we have a black swan occurrence happening. Nobody saw it coming. It wasn't predicted. It will probably not happen again for another 200 years. May 16th, we will be able to upseat as many corrupt, do-nothing politicians and put wonderful, fantastic people in that are running the first time and maybe even the second time. But we have a wonderful group of people running for positions, and it really behooves you to get out there and talk to them, find out their information, go to my Facebook page. I'm always posting the good ones. Listen to Tone and Tenor. Stay connected with WBNN, Dr. Chinchilla, and you will get the right information if you can't find it yourself. But I encourage everybody to start being an informed voter so no one tells you what to do. You already know what's best for you and your family and your situation. We have some wonderful judges, and I don't know if Brother O is okay with me listing some of them very quickly, but if not, because we're short on time, because I was hoping some
girl,
of
them first of all, we don't
in.
Hold on, girl. Wait a minute now.
Okay.
You know we don't censor here. Then you go ahead and talk.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. So, and these are people that I've had a chance to interview. Do you know how important it is that somebody's willing to talk to you before they get your vote? If you can't contact these people when they're trying to get your vote, what do you think is going to happen after they get in that position? And some people think they're so sick and so sly, they don't have to talk to you. They just hand you something that they want you to read, and you're supposed to go for it. Well, I've taken the time, along with some other community people, to actually put aside time, space, money, and energy to interview some of these people that are asking for our votes. And you have some really wonderful, fantastic people. If there's only one vote that would be the most important in Philadelphia above all, believe it or not, it's the judges. Those are the ones that change your life, but nobody ever pays attention to them. And we have people like Joe Green running, Q Rockman, Tasha, Chelsea running, Melissa Francis, Judge Tamika Washington, Rainey, Major. I always say her first name wrong. Ryan Major or Rainey Major. She is so wonderful. You have Turner, Carolyn Turner running. You have a Samantha Williams running, and we cannot forget our Tamikas. We have, like I said, Tamika Washington, and then we have Tamika Lane. These are, and I'm trying to think, did I forget any of the judges? Because I have 9 picked out so far, and it's 10 slots open. Please, people, don't just take my word for it, but if you aren't someone who researches and you just go with voting just because you saw someone, don't do that. Our children's lives are at stake. Our city's at stake. We have to start closing our eyes, not voting by color, but voting by character, qualifications, transparency, and experience. It's very important that we get the right people in office. And if we do right in May, we could actually see, I believe, truly in my heart, I think we could drop the murder rate in half just by doing the right thing in May. We have Jalen that's all about drones. I can't wait to meet him. You have people like Abu has already proven himself. And Melissa Robinson, she is a go-getter, and she's always speaking up for us. We have new people like Booth that's running for city council at large, Yvette Young that's running for the 9th district. I have Republicans as well. Seth for commissioner, one of the commissioners. You have a Drew that's running. I'm trying to think, is he city council at large? Yes, he's city council at large. We have a Charles Reyes that's running for city council at large. We have a wonderful assistant principal, Curtis Surges, and his whole school is helping him with the posters and everything that he does. It's a wonderful story to hear. I can't say enough about how many really, really qualified good people with fantastic ideas in the trenches, boots on the ground, put in the work, have the years in, that are teachers and principals, degrees, 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 so they're educated, they know what they're talking about. We can change this city overnight if we just do the right thing May 16th. Please, people, take this serious. Vote like your child's life depends on it, because it just might. And I want to stop there. I wonder if Randall's still on. Do you want to add anything to that, Randall? Or
something.
Maybe.
Did
he
hang
up? I just
want to say thank you. Yeah, I'm here.
Well, thank you. Yes. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. But I also want to say something that no one's talking about in this election here in Philadelphia County, because Philadelphia is a city of county. We are switching over to electronic poll books. So you won't have those books out there where you sign a name, and it could be confusing. The lines may be longer, and, you know, don't get discouraged. If you're out there,
no, we're not.
You know, a lot of people are not talking about this, and this
wow,
will be the first time that they will be used.
Randall, do you really think people will get discouraged? Do you think people will get discouraged with so much murder and mayhem going on?
You know. Again, you know, one thing I will say, that those folks that want to make it, that want to see a change, will be there. I've worked the polls; they will be there. The other folks are the folks that, you know, people are soliciting and putting in these ads and all. Those are the non-voters. You know,
yeah.
A lot of them are the non-voters, all right? So you need to be, again, be aware of who, what, and when, because we're in dire straits. Our city, as Bruce Springsteen says, is in ruins.
Yes.
We are in ruins.
Generational wealth.
And you can find, you mentioned Councilmatic prerogative. You can find a report that was done by True Charitable Trust, and this dates back to 2015 when it started. You can find more information about the Anti-Corruption Act, which is done, the American Anti-Corruption Act, which is by out there, just Google that, and you know, and just leave your listeners the first Anti-Corruption Act that was passed in the United States was passed in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
I'll leave you with that.
Okay. Well, I will not be speaking to you all on WBNN again unless I'm calling in, talking with Dr. Chinchilla or chiming in with one of the other interns if they're touching on the political scheme of Philadelphia. And I hope that maybe all month everyone puts a little bit of this in their show, because then it hammers it home and people start to understand just how important it is. And for mayor, a lot of people are going back and forth, but like Brother O said, I have a right, and he doesn't censor. And so I know that people are wondering, how come I didn't say, you know, who I think is mayor? And the person that I'm going for with mayor, I am going to say proudly, is going to be Alan Dom, because to me, he has a plan. He had a plan before everybody else, and his plan makes sense. He has the integrity, the experience, the transparency, and he is a gigantic quiet giver, and he does so much that people don't even know about. And I just want to close my eyes and just vote, and it's not about who I know and who I like. It's about who I think is going to do the job and really protect our city and our children out here, and that's how serious I take it. In the past, I used to vote on who I saw or who was cute or who I knew. We can no longer afford to do that anymore. I'm tired of hugging mothers. You know, I'm tired of taking the financial losses that I'm taking in real estate, and I'm tired of seeing other people take losses. It doesn't have to be this way, because if somebody would just hold the corrupt politicians and the political system accountable and the parents accountable, Philadelphia would be beautiful all over again, almost overnight. And so I'll stop there. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your ear. And again, you have tone and tenor that you can go to that radio station. You can come here and get information. You can look me up on Facebook, and I will be posting for the next 4 or 5 weeks of all the great people that I think deserve your attention and your respect and your vote, and then you do the additional research and see if I'm wrong. I doubt it, because I have taken this on like it's almost a job to help Philadelphia be a better city for everybody and a safer city for everybody. Thank you, and good night.
Here we go.
So forever, I live.